Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Man, that's the boss lady herself. If you guys don't know, she is about to drop part five of the T-Trap series. Yes, the T-Trap series is getting another book, and all us trappers cannot wait. But I digress. My name is Tony. Welcome to the Scoreboard Sports Show. We are your radio tailgate party. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday night, right around 8 p.m. Eastern time. And for those that follow the show, y'all know Jazz gonna show up to help a sister out until about 8:03. So he'll be here shortly. But I'm going to go ahead and take care of this housekeeping that we must do just to keep the boss lady's name up in lights. Once again, my name is Tony. I'm going to be joined by the guys in just a moment. But Nene Capri, in addition to her latest release, by the way, that's dropping in July of this summer, 2017. We got some hot, hot reads for a hot, hot summer. Once again, I digress. Can y'all tell I'm excited about this new book by Nene Capri? But she also has some other things in her camp that's going on. She also has the Iron Throne magazine as well as Feet Fleet, DJs of the ATL. Yeah, I'm trying to get these words out. Can you tell her sister's excited? She also has the Britain Network, 1K Media Group, as well as the Media Vision 848 and Young Urban American Group. Got her website up, so go ahead over there and check me out. But we're still rebuilding. It is booked right. Editing, can y'all tell it's brand new? It's booksrightediting.net. Sorry about that, guys. Got so much going on over here in our camp. But in addition to T-Trap Series Part 5 dropping, they also have, from Nene Capri Presents, The Black Widow. Her book is sent for us, and she's actually working on Part 2 of that. Nene also has the Trust No Bitch series as well as the Dreamweaver. And the one right before the T-Trap 5 is Diamonds, Pumps, and Glocks. And she actually co-wrote that with the beautiful authoress Black. Those are some awesome reads that you can get into your library, as well as Devious Deception by S. Chameleon. Now, we got a lot going on in the literary world, but just as much going on in the sports world. As we all know, the NBA playoffs have started. Is your team in the mix? Because mine certainly isn't. They in the news, but not for the playoff reasons. I'm just saying. But I see it must be about 8:03. Actually, Jazz is a little late. It's 8:05. Hey, Jazz, how you doing?
What's going on, baby? What's up?
I'm good. I'm excited. I just shared with our listeners that Nene has given her release date for the Teach at Five. It is going down this summer, Jazz. She released it, and that's Chat Part 5, guys. She even has a pre-order link. So go head over there to my page, and I'm going to drop it over there on Jazz's page. Even though he don't read, keep telling him he got to get up on them his reading. It's on my page, Leisha's page, Nene's page. Everybody that's associated with us is on their page. So you can pre-order it. It is ready to get into your library. So, Jazz, what's going on, buddy?
Ain't nothing. You know, anything good. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, I heard about Carmelo, you know, breaking up with old girl. So, you know, I'm pretty sure you feel like that's the reason why he didn't have a good year. So, you know, now maybe he can refocus.
Well, Jazz, ever since this show started, I try to not to get into athlete's personal lives. You know, like we always go back and forth about the money, especially you always digging at me about Eli, how much he's getting paid. But I stay out of a man's
pocket,
and I stay out of his bedroom.
It's a fact, man.
The two things I try not to get into. Nah, there's no facts out there. The only facts related to that are between Melo and Lala. And what we all speculate is just that speculation. I'm just saying. That's just my take on it. But if they want to talk about it, they can have at it.
I'm good with that.
So what else is going on, buddy?
No, everything good. Well, you know, boxing we got a big fight coming up in a couple of weeks with Vladimir Klitschko and Joshua. And that should be really good, but had some UFC on this weekend. It was on Fox, it was on local TV, so I hope everybody caught it. Demetrius Johnson beat the man, he worked my man over.
Really?
I forget dude name. Wilson Riaz. He was ranked number 3 in the rankings, but yeah, Demetrius did it to him for real. Fight of the night. He basically did whatever he wanted to. Hit him with an arm bar, submitted him. Mm-hmm. I mean, 12th defense. He tied a record that now him and Anderson Silva share. So his next defense, he'll break the record. I mean, right now, ain't nobody beating him. That's just point blank. In that weight class, he's a flyweight. So at that weight class, ain't nobody touching him in that weight class. At least not that I can see.
Yeah.
Nobody of relevance. Mm-hmm. He done beat everybody. He fought everybody and beat everybody.
I was going to ask you what the weight class was, so there's no one else
to
feel his wrath, huh?
Yeah, I think flyweight is like 120, might be less.
Really?
They little dudes. Yeah, they little dudes. Maybe 125, maybe. Yeah,
wow,
they real action.
Tiny.
It's real action-packed fighting, though. It's real action-packed at that weight class. Not a lot of holding. It's just straight, you know, beating each other up, so... You know,
at that
weight,
I would think it's a lot of speed as well. I mean, being able to get out of the way of a mighty punch.
Absolutely. It's definitely a lot of speed, a lot of technique. You know, it's not like, you know, in the larger weight classes where people doing a lot of holding, not a lot of holding. And a lot of, they're beating the hell out of each other at that weight class. So, So, yeah, we got like I said, we got a big fight in a couple of weeks. We got a fight coming on this weekend. Got a middleweight fight. It's going to be in England. But I can't pronounce the gentleman's name. He's fighting Tommy Langford. And that's going to be in England, so that should be good. And then we got a super middleweight fight coming up with Gilberto Ramirez versus Max. I forget his last name. It's going to be on pay-per-view. It starts at 9 o'clock, so y'all might want to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Yeah, about as far as boxing coming up. And there's also a UFC card that's going to be on Fox Sports 1 Saturday, too. So if you guys want to check out that, check out the boxing, prepare for next week. So other than that, I'm good. What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm excited. You know, the playoffs have started. I have been in looking to see what type of mishaps and upsets are going to be happening. So we're going to talk about that when Mr. Louie gets into the studio. As soon as he presses his one, I know he's ready to get it going.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick. What do you think about the Minnesota coach basically dressing down the referees for game two, if you saw the game? The game's crazy.
Yes, I did see. And welcome, Louie. How you doing this evening?
I can't complain. How about you guys?
Yo, what's cracking?
We are good. We diving in.
Hey, that's the only way to do it.
So what do you think about my man? I asked you the same question I asked Tony. How do you feel about the coach from Minnesota basically saying that the coaches basically didn't give his team a chance with calling so many fouls against his team?
I'm not even going to lie. I didn't. Who is this?
It's the coach from Minnesota. He used to be the coach for Miami.
He used to be assistant
coach for Miami. And now his name is Fizdale. I think his last name is Fizdale. Yeah.
Right.
So basically what happened was in game two, basically they were calling a lot of fouls. And Memphis wasn't really getting calls. Conley wasn't getting calls. Z-Bo wasn't getting calls. Mark Gasol wasn't getting calls. They weren't getting it. But then Leonard was getting some calls. You know, he was getting some.
A lot of calls.
Some touchy. Yeah, he was getting a lot of calls. So, you know, when he got on the mic, he basically dressed down the referees. Basically said that they didn't give his team a shot because they kept calling fouls against his team. Wouldn't let them play. And, you know, if you follow Memphis, they play a little rough. You know what I'm saying? They got that inside game.
Uh-huh.
They play a different style. Exactly. They play more hard-nosed, you know, old-school Knicks, Miami,
uh-huh.
You know, that old-school defense. They play that. But the refs
uh-huh.
wouldn't allow them to play.
Well, I'm gonna say my take on it because I'm not sure if Louis saw it. I like it. I like that he came at it because, you know, you got to get – this is the playoffs. They got there based on their game, and they, like Jazz said, they play rough. That's their style. That's their brand, if you want to say.
Yeah.
So I like
Absolutely.
It. Now, is he going to get hit with a fine? More than likely. But I do like it because he has to stick up for his guys, and his guys can't go out there and say it. They're frustrated. They're being taken out of their game, you know, and they're looking at the team they're playing just walk all over them, just get as many free throws and inside shots as they want, and what are they getting? They're getting fouled. So I like it. I like his spunk. You know, I like him. And good for him as a rookie coach for standing up for his guys.
Well, you know,
so we'll
funny.
See what happened in game three.
I mean, it's funny. He going home. They're going home because game three is in Memphis. He going home. This is
right.
Exactly because he came from Miami. This is precisely what Pat Riley would do.
Mm-hmm.
He would work the coaches in game two and then go home and expect to get the call.
Right.
So.
Classic
it makes
Riley
sense.
Move.
Absolutely. It makes now, will they get the call? I don't know. Because so far, I looked up some numbers, and so far, they have called 32 fouls against Memphis, for Memphis, 32.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leonard has gone to the line 28 times.
Jeez.
Yo, it's crazy.
That's just one player.
That's
whole.
In two games, they have called four less fouls for Leonard,
the team.
One player, Leonard.
Well, your team
is getting in two games total.
You can't even say that that's four fouls less for Leonard. Those are just free throws. You said free throws, right? He shot 28 free. That's not including any like reaching fouls that maybe occurred on him when they're trying to get him up on the wing. You know, those.
Exactly.
That's only fouls when he's in the act of shooting, or if they're in the in the bonus or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's not including any reaching fouls or any moving screen fouls or.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
And you know something to this, and if you watched the game last night, I watched that game. Memphis was out of it early. I got it. They was out of it early. They were getting it handed to them. But I like I said, I like the fact that Fizdale saw them getting it handed to him and was like, you know what, maybe part of the reason why we're getting it handed to us is because they're not calling it even. Call it even. You know what I mean? Give me something, because like you said, Connolly is a top five point guard, and you're giving him no call. None.
Uh-huh.
You're giving Z-Bo no call. Nobody getting calls but Leonard.
I agree with Miss Tony, and for the record, Jazzy threw me off by saying Minnesota. I thought we were talking NHL playoffs.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were talking Boston for a second. I really don't know what's going on in the hockey world.
My bad.
No, you're good. No, I did see this though. Like I did see the at least like a highlight of the press conference, and I'm in agreement with Miss Tony on this one. It's the coach's job to do this. You know,
absolutely.
I'm sure he. It's not the players. Like, you don't want your players making that call and going to the press and doing that, because then they're not focused on the game plan and executing. They're focused on, did dude buddy miss the call? Did the ref screw them? You know, they get out of their game. It's up to the coach. You know, either in the game or after the game. To get up and be the voice for his players.
So now if you feel that way, do both of you disagree with Paul George?
Well, that's a different type of situation there.
How is it different? I mean, okay.
That you're going after your teammates, not the officials.
But is that better or worse?
I would have kept that in house. I don't know. That's just me. I would have kept that in house. You know, we all know that Paul George is the heart of that team, is the soul of that team, and he definitely should have gotten the ball back, because that was actually a good game. I enjoyed that game. Now he should have gotten the ball back. He should not have taken that. He should have passed it back and let him. Right before that, he had tossed up a three-pointer that was, like, way behind the three-point line. He was in his zone.
Okay. First, let me say, watching the final play, at first, he didn't immediately try to get the ball back. So, but I have no problem with C.J. Miles taking that shot, because he took a good shot. He missed it, but he took a good shot. He took a better shot than George would have took. So, and secondly, if you saw the game last night, George comes down. Indiana was down two or three. George comes down, shoots a three, misses the three. Cleveland comes down. They miss two shots. Indiana gets the ball back. George takes another shot, misses it. Cleveland comes down, three-point play, they're down five. Indiana misses another shot, Cleveland comes down, now they up seven. My thing is, George, for all of his bravado about taking the last shot, according to stats, He is 0-15 in game-winning or game-tying shots. You should not be taking the last shot, young man. No. You're not good at that.
But do you think that that should carry over to the playoffs, which is a whole totally different game? Do you think that should carry over? What about in the playoffs, isn't it?
If you can't hit it in the regular season, how are you going to hit it in the playoffs?
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But I wouldn't have taken it out to the media.
But it's even one of those things that, like, why we love guys like MJ and Kobe and even LeBron now, you know, after his first season with Miami, what LeBron turned into is it didn't matter what they were shooting. It didn't matter if you were 0-15 for the game. It didn't matter if you were 0-15 lifetime for buzzer beaters. That it's that mentality. So you want the guy with the mentality taking that shot. You know, so if Paul George has got the mentality that I can make this shot no matter what, and he's obviously your best player on the court, you got to give it to him and let him at least, you know, you got to put the game in his hands and let him either lead the team or bomb. And, you know, he bombed out this time, and there's going to be a time where he takes that shot, and he may be 0-20 at that point, but he's going to take that shot and he's going to hit it. He's going to be 1-21, but we're all going to remember that one.
We'll let him make one first. Let him make one first. Let him make one and we have this conversation.
But I mean,
there's no way. If you looked at the game yesterday, they kept double-teaming him to take the ball out of his hand. So you have to depend on your teammate. If you want to go back to MJ, MJ said, yo, I'm going to give it to Kerr. You better make it. I'm trusting you to make this shot. Paul basically went on national TV and basically said, I have no faith in none of the guys I play with. But aren't you going to need these guys if you want to succeed?
I think Paul George has already checked his ticket.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
it was like LeBron on that last playoff series that he played with in Cleveland. You know, as soon as the game was over, he had already ripped off his jersey and took off into the locker room. Like, you could tell by his body language, he was done. And that, you know, there was a very good chance that was the last game he played in Cleveland for a long time.
Yeah, and you're right. And this is exactly what happened. And, I mean, so, okay, if you're going to say that, then, so I'm assuming his flight across the country is already booked and ready.
I wouldn't say across the country, but yes, he's got a plane ticket or a bus ticket. He's got his suitcases and house and U-Haul rented to empty his house in Indianapolis and do what he's leaving.
Okay, so
I don't know where he's going, but he's got the U-Haul parked in front of his house, and he's got the U-Haul in the driveway already loaded up. Kids are ready to go. I mean.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Jazz Clippers. Who wins the series?
That might be one of the upsets of this first series.
Now, do you really call a 4-5 upset? Like, that's like a 7. That's like what, an 8-9 in the March Madness? Is that really an upset?
I think they thought they had so much, they thought they would come so far this season. Nobody really talked about Utah most of the year. They kind of flew under the radar most of the year. So for some people, they never really paid attention to Utah until right now.
Right.
I understand that point.
But, I mean, if we're looking at just, like, the how the playoffs break down, is really a 5-seed beating a 4-seed really an upset? Like, in your eyes, is that an upset?
Not if you follow the game. If you follow the sport, no. No. It's like an 8-9. It's even.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, your 4-5 series in both conferences should be the best series.
Yeah,
because
we're going to get to that.
Those should be the two teams most evenly matched.
But do you? But do you think? With two questions. First of all, and like I said, we gotta go through the other one, the other playoff series. And you listen to the scoreboard with Miss Tony, Miss Jazz, and my man Louis Mack.
Hey, great plug. Great plug.
Great plug.
Plug
that show.
So, okay, so are you more concerned with Gobert going out, or more concerned with Blake Griffin stepping up?
Oh, Gobert going out. If Gobert has to miss a lot, the majority of the rest of this series, that's gonna kill Utah.
He'll miss game two. So he'll probably play game three.
But if he only misses one game, then, you know, it really won't, you know, it really probably won't affect the Jazz too much. But if he has to miss, you know, two or three games and it lets Griffin and Jordan kind of start dominating the paint again, then it could turn into an issue.
Okay. What do you say, Ms. Tony?
It's definitely going to be an issue. You know, going down in game, in that game, it was devastating. It's like the wind has been taken out of their sails. You know, they had expected. And I think that's one of the key of that 4-5, you know, matchup, is that it's going to really affect them. So they have to mentally get back in the game and try to get themselves settled and know that he's not there, and hope that he comes back. They make it through this series and he can come back in the next one.
Well, I guess I kind of feel like, you know, I kind of feel like the other way, because even though Gobert is out, they still got Favors, Ingram, they still got Hayward. They're missing a piece. But for me, if Blake doesn't step up on the Clippers side, they go down flaming. And the reason why I say that is because you're not going to get four games of what Chris Paul gave you in game one. You're not. This is not going to happen. You may get one more. Because at the end of that game, he took it over. And he basically scored the last maybe 10 or 12 points in the end of that game. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But can he, without Blake, you have no inside presence. You know what I mean? And is anybody in Atlanta saying, where the hell was Joe Johnson when he played here? Was anybody there?
I had to do a double take.
I think the city of Atlanta's got bigger issues to deal with than a Joe Johnson appearance, man.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean? I mean, you pay, you know, we paid the man for, you know, Atlanta paid the man for years. He never did.
Even
that.
In Brooklyn, Jazz. Even in Brooklyn, he was playing for the Nets.
But Jazz, I think the bigger problem for the Clippers is not going to be the starting five.
Okay.
Joe Johnson by himself last game outscored the entire Clippers bench.
Yeah, absolutely.
21 points to 20. Like, the starting five for Los Angeles is going to need some help coming off the bench. Or the Jazz second unit and Johnson and Favors is going to be able to, you know, keep them close in the game. I think that's their bigger issue. Because Griffin's going to do Griffin things. DeAndre Jordan's going to do DeAndre Jordan things. Chris Paul's going to do Chris Paul things. Redick is going to, you know, stand in the corner and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to get from the Clippers starting five. But what are you going to do? What are you going to get from the next five? What are you going to get from the next three? That's going to be the key for the Clippers. Because if the second unit for the Jazz can keep them in the game, Gordon Hayward and Joe Johnson have enough moxie, for the lack of a better term. They got big enough balls to, you know, take that game-winning shot and make it.
Absolutely. Oh, so, okay, is anybody concerned about Cleveland?
About who?
Is everything good now?
With who? I didn't hear you.
Is everything good? Is anybody concerned with Cleveland? I mean, because game one, LeBron said we got problems. Game two, everything's great. So, which way are we leaning?
I mean, LeBron's the type of player to – he's the type of player that he knows how to get the best out of his teammates. But the way he does it is calling them out in the, you know, in the media. They don't play up to his level of what he thinks they should be playing at. So, honestly, I think that's all that was out of game one was him just, you know, saying, hey, guys, look, play better. Like, if we are going to win a championship, it's not worth – I'm not worried about us getting out of the first round. I'm not worried about us getting out of the second round. If we are going to win a championship and go back-to-back, y'all need to start playing better, so let's do this.
You agree, Ms. Tony?
Right. Yeah, he's looking at the end game, you know, and even before the playoffs started, he was talking about he needed help. You know, he needed help because he knows that it's going to take more than just him to get to that end game that he wants to do that back-to-back. And he does, like Louis said, he has a habit of calling the guys out in the media, talking about his team and his guys, but it's still a team play, and you just want to hope nobody gets hurt, because that would be the last thing that just take the wind out of their sails. But they may have their hands full. It's going to be interesting, that series. I'm going to keep my eye on that series.
Well, it leads me to my next question, which is Toronto. Are they in trouble? Mm. Or is Milwaukee better than they looked all year?
I think they're better than they looked all year. I'm kind of going with Milwaukee. That's that series that I'm going with the underdog. I do tend to go with
the underdog. So you're going Milwaukee?
I'm definitely going with them. Yes.
Okay. Louis, what'd you say?
Milwaukee, they look good the other night. I'm checking the score right now, and they're down by three in the third quarter. Milwaukee is. I don't know, man. Toronto's just one of those teams, man, that you want. Like, they play well and they got good pieces. They just, for some reason, I don't know, man. They're just one of those teams that you look at them and you're like, I want to root for them. I want to say they're going to win. But then you see them play and you're just like, oh, geez. Like, I better not put money on this one. I better just watch this one for fun because I have no idea what they're about to do.
But you know what, Louis? In addition to that, what I also like with that series, Milwaukee and Toronto, is that with Milwaukee, you're going to have to be able to play your perimeter. You're going to have to hit your perimeter shots because they are just blocking up the inside. They're not allowing anything or anyone inside. So your perimeter game has to be on point. And I think that took Toronto out of their game. So they came to win. Forget about being the underdog. They came to win.
Oh, and I think that's going to play really well for Milwaukee because Toronto's best wing scorer is DeMar DeRozan, but he's not a solid outside shooter. Like, he's got a decent mid-range game. He can hit threes, but he's not, like, prolific. It's not his thing. You know, he's much better at slashing and going to the rim and, you know, creating and getting fouls and that kind of stuff. So, I mean – if you can force DeMar DeRozan to have to shoot from the outside more than he's getting to the rim, I mean, you effectively take him out of the game.
Yeah.
And then you just got to, you know, make sure that Ibaka doesn't take over or anything like that. Milwaukee
didn't take over last game.
No. And his days of taking over are probably done. He hasn't done it in a while, but – I mean, I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee looks really good. You know, they're another team that's, you know, they're young. They're kind of figuring out who they are. I like Antetokounmpo. I think the dude. I hope I said that. I think
I like
said
the Greek
name right.
Yeah. I just call him the Greek freak. I love his game.
Nah, I like trying to say his last name, Antetokounmpo. Makes me feel impressive when I can say it.
Better at it than I am, Antetokounmpo.
Hey, that's hours of playing NBA 2K17. That's all you hear.
Okay,
I'm
there
Kumbo.
You go. It makes sense.
But, I mean, I think we're kind of seeing we may not be seeing the breakout party for the Greek Freak, but I think we're seeing him take that next step, you know, into being a legit superstar in the league. Like, he's not just a really tall guy who's got handles and can play the point guard. We're now seeing him actually become one of the, you know, elite players in the league. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Milwaukee take this series.
Well, I mean, Ibaka has an ankle thing going on, so we have to monitor that. But if Lowry, if Lowry gives you 10 points instead of 4 points, Toronto probably wins. So if you can get 10 to 15 from Lowry, Toronto wins. And, you know, I caught a coworker who was really sipping on Milwaukee's Kool-Aid. So, you know, we got a little wager because, you know, I like, you know, I'm hopefully, if Lowry shows up, they win. It all depends on Lowry, in my opinion, because DeRozan going to do what he do. Everybody going to do what they do. If Lowry does what he do, they win. And another thing is, we always talk about it, Milwaukee does not have a closer. The Greek Freak, is not a closer yet. He will not get the call. DeRozan will get the call. DeRozan will close.
Oh, and I think Lowry will get the calls too. I think Lowry's got enough star clout, you know, to get the
Lowry's
benefit of the doubt.
He needs to trade
Lowry.
Okay,
he's got a... But there's a bigger There's a bigger issue we need to talk about with this series other than who's going to win on the court.
What's that?
Do you know that tonight's game, that most, like, DirecTV and other cable providers, like, in the United States, you cannot watch this game because of how the Toronto and the Canadian broadcasting system works?
Yeah, you know. It's Canada, man.
I'm just saying. Like, this is 2017, man. I should be able to watch Canadian TV in the comforts of my home here in Georgia. I'm just saying.
It's not that simple, sir.
So,
okay.
Is it on TV?
Not from what I never went and tried to find it because I'm really not interested in watching it. But when I got on Twitter to promote the show and kind of share the link around and, you know, let everybody know where to find us, you know, on the scoreboard here at Real Raw Radio. Gotta get the plug in. I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and I noticed a bunch of the people that I follow were complaining that they couldn't watch the Toronto Milwaukee game because of how the broadcasting rules work. I was like,
wow,
that's crazy.
That's so
well, then I definitely want Milwaukee to win.
Yeah, I know, right? At least we can see the rest of it. Yeah,
exactly.
So, okay. Rockets Thunder. Did the Rockets make a statement or the Thunder back with a vengeance?
No, that's
I think both of those. They made a statement, but I think the Thunder are going to come back. Rolling Thunder.
No, I think we just witnessed why Russell Westbrook had to average a triple double for the season just to get them to the sixth seed. I think we just witnessed the fact that the Thunder, you know, no matter how good Russell Westbrook is, that the Thunder as a team is just not that good.
He doesn't have the help that Harden has around him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't supposed to play out that apparent. I think the Thunder will win a game. I don't think they get swept.
No.
Because, you know, the league would dictate that the Thunder going to win a game. They're not going to let the MVP go out getting swept. But Thunder can't win that series, man. No.
Hey, opening up a sidebar since you just brought it up. Do you think MVP voting is already taking place and they're just not going to release the winner until after the playoffs? Or do you think
Absolutely.
Those guys haven't voted yet?
No, I think the voting has been – I think the voting is done. It should be. I think the voting was done by the last regular season game. But I think they're just delaying the announcement till after the finals. You know, like Ms. Tony said, to milk it a little long. That's what I think.
Oh, I was just curious because if the voting hadn't taken place yet, do you think Russell Westbrook getting blown out of a first round series hurt, especially to James Harden, who's his, you know, best competition for the MVP? Do you think that changes somebody's vote?
I would say no, only because he broke the record. Man, I can't. No matter how much I want to, I still cannot wrap my mind around him breaking Oscar Robertson's record. You should get on GP just for that, in my opinion.
And also, in addition to that, I think that the voting has to close at the end of the season so that the playoffs doesn't, you know, taint their voting. You know, because it has to be based off the league, off the season, not the MV, not the playoffs. So, with that in mind, I would think that it would end when the regular season ended.
I think we're spot on. I was just curious if you guys knew, because you would like to think that the voters have enough discipline and enough integrity to not let that sway. But if Russell Westbrook is blown out in the series by James Harden, and the voting hasn't occurred, there's going to be a handful of people that go, oh, maybe Westbrook's numbers really weren't that good. We should just give it to Harden then.
But you think about it. The Rockets were three and one against the Thunder. So the Thunder only won one out of four games against the Rockets during the season. So, you know, does that make it even more apparent? I would hope not. I really would. If that was the case, MJ would be MVP for every year that he won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But, I agree.
We got does Atlanta. Can Atlanta win? Point blank.
What, win the series or win the
game?
Can they win the series, yeah.
Can they win the series or game?
If Washington gets an injury where one of their top guys has to miss two or three games, there's a chance it can make some noise and make it, and you know, maybe get some momentum. But as it stands right now, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't think the Hawks are that good.
Damn. Even with the White House.
I had a whole bunch of friends get so excited that Dwight Howard was here in Atlanta and that he had come home. And I was like, guys, he's proven he's like 3 years past his prime. The dude can't do anything but rebound and, you know, contest a shot. He has no offensive game. He can't shoot free throws. He's 3 or 4 years past his physical prime. Why are you excited that he's in Atlanta? The dude's a bum.
Wow. Say how you really feel.
Man, I know. It's a very touchy subject to me, man, because I'm so sick and tired of Atlanta sports teams being mediocre at best. God bless. We get to the playoffs every year, but we can't win shit.
I feel your pain, sir. I feel your pain.
Let's not talk about Atlanta.
No, we got to dissect it because if they crash and burn, we're going to touch on it Tuesday for real. We're going to play with that with a stick or something. You know, we could.
God.
You have a –
Okay.
If Atlanta loses and you heard it, this is, again, if Atlanta loses, Mr. Matt, you get a 2-minute rant. You can do your thing.
Jeez.
You get a 2-minute rant, sir.
Not yet, Louis.
No, hold on. I'm not going to go on a rant yet, but it reminded me of something that I saw earlier.
Okay.
The Hawks won a tiebreaker, which, from what I can figure out, is a coin flip. It's a literal coin flip for their draft slot this year, for this upcoming draft.
Damn.
Like, you're telling me that the NBA can't figure out a better tiebreaker than literally call it in the air?
Yeah, a flip of a coin. You got a bitty shot. You got a bitty shot.
The Knicks lost their coin flip.
You want to talk about a Louis rant? I need a Knicks rant, seriously.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, the Knicks didn't make the playoffs, so you got to wait for your rant because, you know, his team in the playoffs. You got to wait.
Oh, I don't blame them. They're not my team. I just have to live in their city.
But, yeah, you just we'll have multiple rants next week, people. We'll have multiple rants. There's a whole lot to rant about in the coming weeks.
Man,
stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Well, I do want to hear Tony's opinion on what Phil Jackson said in their exit interviews.
Oh. What did he say?
You talk about going on a rant, Louie. You really want me to get on a rant?
Well, Jazz, in case you didn't know, he straight up said, this team has not won with him, so I think we're better off without him in regards to Carmelo Anthony.
Wow. Okay.
Can I just add a sidebar to that? We have not won with Phil Jackson either.
That makes sense.
Sample size is a little different, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But that whole interview, first of all, we haven't heard from him since September, you know, other than his tweets that he puts out there and the little information that he gives his media friends to print. But we haven't heard from Phil since September, and when he does talk, he has the whole room of media there, and he's sounding like a coach and not an executive, not management. And I have a problem with that.
He's a coach.
He is a coach sitting up in a stand that can't walk down to the hardwood.
He's a coach.
I'm just saying. In any other game, in any other sports game, does the management manage the way Phil does? There's none.
Oh, no. I mean,
I'm going to let it go because I'm getting ready to get on my rant.
We got 13 minutes. We got 13 minutes. You're going to have your, believe me, like I said, people, we have multiple rants coming next week. Please stay tuned. It's going to be incredible. So, okay, Golden State. Okay, you know the rant is iffy, questionable with the calf injury. Worried or not worried?
I wouldn't.
I'm not worried.
Steve Kerr's already come out and said that there's a very high chance that Durant comes back this series, which tells me that he's only going to miss like a game, maybe two. Golden State's got enough firepower and enough, you know, they're a good enough team to survive a Trailblazers team, you know, and not really have any hiccups there. I'm just kind of the only thing I would be worried about is, can Durant stay on the court the rest of the playoffs after he comes back? Because, you know, they may not need him for the first round. They may not need him for the second round, but they're going to need him in the finals, and they're going to need him, you know, they're going to need him in the conference finals. And if they make it to the NBA finals, they're definitely going to need him.
So you think they should sit him for more than one game? How long would you sit him?
I honestly, this is one of those things that you want to trust the player to tell you that he's good to go and that he's 100%, or not really 100%, but that, you know, he feels fine. But I mean, because nobody's going to be able to tell you other than Durant how he's feeling, especially if it's just like a muscle strain. You know, you kind of got to leave it up to Durant and just hope that he's got the big picture in his head, not just, oh, I got to win this series. He's got the bigger picture of, I came to Golden State to win a championship. I need to make sure I'm right moving forward. So, I mean, you kind of got to leave it in Durant's hands, in my opinion.
Okay. What you say, Ms. Stone?
You know, we have talked about him coming back a few shows back, and I thought it was a little early for him coming back, and I'm hoping that this is not a result of he came back too soon. You know, and like Louis said, they have the firepower to win without him, but he came there to win. So it's just, like you say, we're going to have to go by how he feels because only he knows his body. But I do think that he came back too soon and he may have played too many minutes when he was in the game because he was just so excited to be back in the game. You know, you can kind of hurt yourself by being in there too long and doing too much.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if it was me, I would sit him the rest of the series.
And for the record, I was not rooting for them.
Of course you were. Of course you were. It makes sense. Of course you were.
I was not rooting for Golden State.
Of course you were. So okay.
Those
so
are your
now,
guys.
The only they gonna bust ass, real talk. Let's be clear. And the last one I have is, of course, the Celtics. And, you know, we want to send our condolences to Isaiah Thomas's family with the unexpected death of his sister. And, you know, how do they recover from that? You know, how does he recover from that? You know, they say he's going to play game two. Game three through, you know, game three on is kind of iffy. So, you know, what do you guys think about that? And can the Bulls capitalize on their game one victory?
It's hard. I was feeling for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just going to say is, you know, condolences to Isaiah Thomas. It's rough. You know, luckily I've never had to, you know, feel the loss of somebody, you know, a close family member like that. But, you know, I can only imagine what it's going through because I know how close me and my sisters are. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, he is a professional. The dude's a gamer. He is a competitor. I think he'll be fine for the rest of the season. I mean, the rest of the series, like on the court-wise, I think he'll be okay moving forward. But I think Chicago's, you know, pointed, you know, Chicago's shown a big flaw in the Celtics' plan and how they play is they don't have size. They don't have rebounding. And I think as long as you can beat them up on the glass and you can get some, you know, second chance points and some easy looks under the rim off of second chance points, off of offensive rebounds, I think you got a good shot at beating them. And, you know, we'll see if Chicago can keep it going and keep the momentum going. But I think we're, you know, we definitely saw that, you know, as good as Isaiah is, you know, there's not anybody else offensively really that can help him. And they just don't have the rebound. Like, it's not like a Memphis team where they're built around playing slow and they've got a couple of good they've got two really good scorers. But, you know, they just out-rebound and out-bully everybody else, you know, so that way they can win. We're talking about a team that's trying to win like that but doesn't have the size to bully people down low.
Yeah. So what do you think, Ms. Owen?
Like you said, you guys said condolences to him, but I think he's finding his comfort out on the court among, you know, his fellow NBA brothers. And it just kind of gives him a reprieve from what he's going through. But it's hard, you know. Like Louis said, we don't know the immediate pain of it. But just to see him, he had a remarkable game on Sunday. I don't think that he is enough. I don't see a 5'9 guy, you know, being that go-to, that closer. I know he's had fourth quarter great fourth quarters all season, but I think it may not be enough to get them over this playoff hump. But we shall see. They are losing, I think, at right about now. I think Chicago is up about 4 or 5 points right now.
So wait a minute. So you saying, so let me be clear. So you're saying that you think, so you got Boston in that series.
Me? I never cheer for Boston. Are you kidding me? But I was praying for him on Sunday. I'm from New York. Are you kidding me?
So you think that Chicago gonna do it? That's what
I think so. It's gonna be a battle. Once he gets his feet under him, I think it's gonna be a battle, but I'm just, you know, not giving it my all New York Boston rivalry because I feel for him, you know. But I'm going with Chicago.
So what about you, Louie? Where you at? So, Louie, where you at?
I'd like to say that Boston can make it happen and make it, you know, and win it and get back on track. I just don't know if they've got it. Like, I just don't know. Like, I'm with Tony. I just don't think Isaiah Thomas is enough. And kind of looking through the, like, because they're up. Chicago's up 47-38 right now. And I'm kind of looking through the box score. And they're already getting out-rebounded by 6. The Chicago's already got 5 offensive rebounds. I mean, it's just Isaiah's got 11, and then nobody else has got more than 6.
So, okay. So one last question, because we got 5 minutes. Which team has Boston, Chicago? Which team has the best player? And who is that?
Chicago, and it's Jimmy Butler.
Wow. Okay. What do you say, Ms.
I mean, they're comparing, I think it's Jimmy JB. I mean, they're even comparing him to who's better, him or LeBron. But I got to go with Jimmy Butler, JB, all the way. What about you?
I mean, if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said Isaiah Thomas. But, I mean,
okay.
I got to go with Jimmy on this one. I mean, he has the size. He's doing everything that he wanted to do. And it seems like Dwayne Wade has realized maybe in game one, maybe he finally realized, like, yo, this is Butler's team. Maybe I really am just an add-on guy. And he played like an add-on guy.
He should have realized that after the first year in Miami that he was nothing but an add-on guy.
There you go.
Golly, y'all done made me have a full heel turn on air, man. This is crazy.
Man, you're doing a wonderful job at it.
This is so... Oh, man.
Okay.
So
have,
much.
Hold that rant, Lou. We only got the lady said we got 90 seconds. So we just want to thank everybody for joining us here on Real World Radio.
Absolutely.
The Scoreboard Sports Show. And we're going to
we'll
have
back
a
next
rant.
Week. Remember, we got 2 rants. We got a New York Knicks rant, and we got Atlanta Hawks rant. And if you want to rant
Atlanta
against
Hawks.
Your team, call in and you can rant against your team. You got 2 minutes. You can rant up. Do your thing.
Hey,
we're having a rant show.
Jazz, I got a question for you about your team next week that I want to ask you to see if I can get you to go on a rant on one of your teams.
Oh, shit. That ain't hard.
Okay.
You know, I'm angry by
nature.
I'm going to promote that
next Tuesday.
Well,
it's a rant show.
We're going to have Rant Tuesday.
Rant Tuesday.
Look,
yes.
Look, we're going to all cut like a 2-minute promo like the WWE would. And at the end of the show, we need to pick a winner to see who's got the best promo skills.
Okay, I can do that. Okay, I can see that. I can work that out. Okay. All right, cool. All right, you on, bro.
Promo skills as far as what?
Oh, in the WWE, when you cut a promo, it's like when you get on the mic and you're just like, I'm the best there's ever been, blah, you know, it's when they're on the mic cut, you know, and just, you know, talking to the fans or just, you know, so I want to say give everybody like a 2-minute rant, and then at the end of the show, pick who's got the best rant. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, send that to me, and I'll promote it, because, you know, that's what I do, promotion. Send that to me, the parameters of it. Because I want to promote the rant Tuesday, too. Because, you know, we have Petty Friday. We're going to have a rant Tuesday.
Rant
well,
Tuesday,
baby. Thank you,
everybody,
for joining us here on the scoreboard. We so appreciate you guys. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday because there's no telling what's going to come out of the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining
us.
My name is Tony. Joined by the one and only Jazz and Mr. Louis Mack. Good night,
yeah,
everybody.
Man.
Yeah,
all right, kick that beat for me, baby. Word up. Thanks, Louis.
You guys.
I didn't do nothing.
You think you tough? Think you tough, huh? Oh. You're scared now, huh? I like that. I like that. That's why I took this job.
Hey, bro. You fucking move my foot down. Hey, bro. You fucking move my foot down.
Hey, bro.
Them racist ass cops ain't finished yet. Kill us with Cilla CDs and loose cigarettes. While a white man had killed 9 people in the church and come out with a SWAT team in a vest. Same thing going down in your